Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Minister Charlie McConnellogh says he's hopeful provision can be put in place to ensure the Refolk counselling service will be maintained. The Taoiseach says higher tax would be a price he'd be willing to pay for United Ireland. However, he said he doesn't believe it is within touching distance. The Gaelic of Lifford Stranraer Municipal District, Councillor Liam Doherty, confirms he will not be standing in the local elections in June. And people in Donegal continue to have the lowest average disposable income in the state. It was just over 19,500 in Donegal, or almost 28,000 in Dublin. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around about 5:15. But we begin with a statement this evening from Minister Charlie McConnellogh, who says he's hopeful that provisions can be put in place to ensure that the Refolk counselling service will be maintained. In a statement, he says he's been liaising with Junior Minister Mary Butler on the matter over the past number of weeks. And TUSLA, HSE Mental Health and HSE Primary Care Service met with the Refolk Counselling Services on Tuesday of this week. According to Minister Butler, that was a positive meeting with agreement that the Refolk Counselling Service would provide the HSE with a proposal over the coming days that identifies all of the needs both in the interim and in the long term. A further meeting is scheduled for Wednesday next week, that's February 14th. Minister McConnellogh says he's also liaised directly with Bishop Alan McCookian, and he will continue to liaise with Minister Butler as these meetings continue. The Taoiseach says higher tax would be a price he'd be willing to pay for United Ireland. However, Leo Varadkar doesn't believe unity is within touching distance, as was suggested last week by the Sinn Féin president, Mary Lou MacDonald. The Taoiseach was critical of the Sinn Féin approach to unifying the island, saying there will be very complex issues of tax and economy which cannot be ignored.
If you believe in the unification of your country, it's not about 1 or 2% or 3% of GDP or maybe having to pay a little more tax. You know, it's a price I'd be very happy to pay if we could achieve the unification of our country. But the way that's done, I think the Sinn Féin approach is to kind of create an inevitability narrative. This is going to happen, you know, whether you like it or not. The conversation's underway. You know, unionists, you just need to get on board, you know. That's not the right approach.
The Gaelach of the Lifford Stranraer Municipal District, Councillor Liam Doherty, has confirmed he will not be standing in the local elections in June. The convoy-based Sinn Féin councillor said it's been an honour to represent the district since he was first elected in 2014, but he believes now is the right time to stand aside and allow somebody else to come forward.
It's a big decision, but I think it's time to make room for someone else to come along and get in there. There's a good few members and stuff there that's champing at the bit. I've done 10 years, and I think it's time just to take a wee step aside and let someone else in there.
You were never one for making big speeches in the council chamber, but in his tribute to you this afternoon, Deputy Pearse Doherty described you as a really hard-working councillor who was never afraid to roll up his sleeves and get stuck in.
Yes, Donal, as I would have said from day one when I was approached to run by Pearse, I made it clear that I wasn't a person for speeches and meetings and being on radio and stuff. It was never really my side of it. I would be more of a hands-on person, as people that knows me would know that. You know, I even remember some of the first calls I got was a woman had rats in the house. I was out, you know, in there setting traps for her and doing stuff that maybe I shouldn't have been doing. But that's just the kind of person I was, you know, when I was a person for on the ground and stuff. I'm not going away. I'm not going to disappear into the background. I'm going to still be there, maybe even more so in my local communities now. Maybe we'll have a wee bit more time to get more involved again in local groups and stuff. I won't be changing my number.
You won't be contesting the election in June. I'm sure that you will still be out campaigning for Gary Doherty and for others who may run for the party in the area.
No doubt, Donal, as I say, I'm taking a step back from the council side of it, but definitely not from a Sinn Féin perspective. Whoever's chosen at their convention, I'll be 100% behind them.
And that was Councillor Liam Doherty. He'll continue, of course, as Gaelic in Lifford Stranraer and as a member of the council until the local elections in June, but he will not be standing. People in Donegal continue to have the lowest average disposable income in the state. Data from the CSO shows it was just over 19,500 in 2021, 21% below the state average. In contrast, Dublin had the highest level of average disposable income at just over €27,900. The Midlands and Border Counties see consistently lower levels of disposable income, and John Daly, an economist with the Northern and Western Regional Assembly, says these major disparities are having an impact on things like population trends.
The gap in disposable income per head of population between the Eastern and Midland region and the Northern Western region of Ireland, which is Ireland's most rural-orientated region, has increased notably. It's nearly three times wider than what it was about 10 years ago. And of course, where income goes, population will follow. The census data has shown that population growth is continuing to be concentrated in or around the eastern side.
A man's been arrested today in connection with the attempted murder of Detective Chief Inspector John Caldwell a year ago. DCI Caldwell was shot multiple times outside a leisure centre in Oma in February 2023. The 44-year-old man was detained in the Dungannon area under the Terrorism Act and has been taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite for questioning. A property was also searched and a number of items taken away for further examination. Renters are being fleeced, according to Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty. He was responding in the Dáil today to figures published by the Residential Tenancies Board, which show a large increase in the cost of rent for new tenancies in the county. Currently, new renters face average rents of €987. Deputy Doherty urged Finance Minister Michael McGrath to introduce a three-year rent freeze, telling him that at present, rents are spiralling out of control.
It's not just new tenants now that are seeing massive hikes in rents. It's also existing tenants also. Because the crisis is impacting renters in every county across the state. In Donegal, rents for new tenancies have gone up by a staggering 23% in a single year. And today's report from the Residential Tenancies Board shows that rents are continuing to spiral out of control.
To your question and your proposal, Deputy, around freezing rents for a number of years, when I look at the data here, I see of the 32,700 homes built last year, there were over 11,600 apartments. Most of those are for the rental sector. That funding is primarily private capital. The state is playing a role, but much of it is private capital, institutional capital. And I have no doubt that were we to adopt your policy, it would impact on the supply of new homes, in particular the supply of rental accommodation across the country.
Renters are being fleeced, and it's on your watch, and you continue to spin and all the rest. You talk about supply. Supply is part of the answer, but yet you fail to deliver on your own targets in terms of affordable and cost rental houses.
Tory Island will be without a nurse for the coming week. The HSE has confirmed the nursing service will be unavailable until February 14th, that's next Wednesday. A review of all planned nursing activities has taken place. The HSE says mainland PHN services has been made available for any queries or nursing requirements that may arise over the coming days, and local GPs, pharmacies, NAUDOC and the Coast Guard have been advised of the nurse's absence. A public meeting is to be held in Milford next week to discuss the redevelopment of the former Reformed Presbyterian Church. The Milford and District Resource Centre received the building from the Reformed Presbyterian congregation in 2022, and grants secured it to date have allowed it to partially reopen. A €200,000 private donation has been made toward the former church's restoration. The premises now known as the Galadlas Community Centre. The money will go toward repairs and development. Declan Meehan, manager of the MDRC, is urging people to attend the meeting next Monday at 7 in the community centre.
We've had it open since September 23, just partially opened, and we've seen an awful lot of different activities, events and classes take place there already. So this building is already making a huge impact in the community in Milford, and this €200,000 donation will allow us to make even more impact with that building for the community.
And there is indeed a meeting now being held on Monday, and it will be an opportunity for people to see what the plans are for the centre.
Absolutely. So the meeting taking place on Monday at 7pm in the Galadlas Community Centre is about keeping the community in the loop about our plans. We had a conservation study and a feasibility study completed by Daedalus Architects. So they'll be presenting their findings along with a number of options for the development of the building. So we'd really encourage members of the public to come along to that to have their say, because anything that we do with this building, it belongs to the community. So we want to ensure that the community are included in this process.
And that was Declan Meehan speaking there to Michaela Clark. A Donegal parent fears if cuts to the allocation of special education teachers go ahead, not just those students with complex needs will be impacted. The Department of Education has removed the criteria for complex needs in its allocation of additional resources to schools that will come into effect in the next school year. Emma Bradley is a national school principal and the parent of a child with special and complex needs. She told the 9 till noon show that it's vital all resources are afforded to pupils who need them. If not, she says, it has a knock-on impact on the whole class.
The less of an allocation to children with complex needs that is given, the more teacher and SET support time must be given to those children, which means your children who are on the fringes, who are on the edges, who could do with a little bit of support if there was time there, those children are losing out as well. Now, it really pains me to say that because I feel that my daughter has only added value to her school. As any child that I've ever taught with special needs,
I do understand.
They add a value to their class and their school. And they, and my daughter is 100% welcomed as a very valued member in her school and in her classroom. But if the proper resources are not there, and if the department do not step up and give these children an opportunity, it does have an impact on others within the school as well.
Early Childhood Ireland is calling on all Donegal Rockcliffe members to support a new single agency for early years and school age care. The body has today issued all Rockcliffe members with a policy proposal outlining the importance of such an agency to support the over 8,200 children enrolled in childcare settings in Donegal. Early Childhood Ireland says the current system is fragmented. CEO Teresa Heaney says a commitment given previously by government to provide a single agency for the sector must now be honoured.
We've been calling for a single agency since 2019, and we were really pleased in the last programme for government that the Department of Children and the entire government committed to establishing a single agency. But I suppose what we're really concerned about at the moment is that we are potentially facing an election very soon. So we believe that it's now really important that government and all of the opposition parties commit to establishing this early years agency.
Highland Radio remains the most listened to radio station in the Northwest. New JNLR figures released today show 78.61% of people choose Highland Radio as their number one station each week. 53.2%, that's 61,000 people, tune in daily. The station's market reach remains the highest in the country at 61.2%. That means when people tune in, they do tune in for longer.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with a tug of war, and it's been a solid opening day for the Inishowen Pullers at the World Indoor Championships in Sweden. The first medal of the competition came in the 680 kilogram weight this morning. Cockhill took a silver medal. They won the opening end against Mockendam, but the Dutch would then win the next two ends to take the gold. Clonmany B women had a superb day as well. They took gold in the 480 junior category, and the Clonmany B men have just lost their semi-final in the 600 kilogram weight, so that now means that they will pull for a bronze medal shortly. Today and Friday's action sees the clubs battle for medals and titles, while on Saturday and Sunday it's international competitions. Pullers from Cockhill, Carndonagh and Clonmany will be representing Ireland this coming weekend there. Turning our attention to football, and the draw for the Nations League is about to get underway. England or Wales are potential opponents for the Republic of Ireland in the competition. The matches there will begin in September. Meanwhile, a group of Middle East football associations have called for FIFA to ban Israel. The 12-nation group led by Jordan's Prince Al bin al-Hassan includes the FAs of Palestine, Saudi Arabia, Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. They have called on all 211 FAs to take a decisive stand against the war crimes committed on Gaza. Israel are due to play Iceland next month in the semi-finals of Euro 2024. That's the semi-finals of the playoffs of Euro 2024. Liverpool's luckless midfielder Thiago Alcantara is set for another spell on the sidelines. The 32-year-old picked up a muscle injury in his five-minute cameo away to Arsenal. That is Thiago's first appearance in 10 months, and he's out of contract this coming summer. Now moving to basketball, and they're into the third quarter in this evening's contentious women's Eurobasket qualifier in Riga. A short time ago, Israel were leading Ireland 51-32. Ireland did not engage in pre-match handshakes with their opponents after Israeli player Dora Saar made comments about Ireland and being anti-Semitic. Basketball Ireland have raised the issue with FIBA Europe on top of social media posts from Israel which featured rifle-carrying members of the IDF. But Ireland behind in that match. In Gaelic Games, GAA Director General Tom Ryan believes it's time the association adopted a more liberal attitude towards the use of GAA grounds by other sports. The past 18 months has seen Munster play a pair of showcase fixtures at Parky Kiev. Writing in his annual report, Ryan says the future of the GAA lies with the stadiums and shared facilities. The GAA recorded a surplus of €6.5 million to the end of September, despite a 13% drop in overall revenue. In rugby, France have made just two changes to the team beaten by Ireland for Saturday's Six Nations clash away to Scotland. Cameron Wokey replaces the suspended Paul Willisby in the second row, while Luis Bellebarre comes in on the left wing for Yoram Mofana. Scotland welcome back co-captain Rory Dredge from injury, and he replaces Jimmy Ritchie in the back row. Elsewhere, Jack Dempsey and Grant Gilchrist come in for the injured Luke Crosby and Richie Gray. In golf, Tom McKibben is 3 under par after his first round at the Qatar Masters. China's Ashwin Wu leads on a 5 under. Shane Lowry and Seamus Power are teeing off shortly in the opening rounds of the Phoenix Open on the US PGA Tour. Just finally, looking ahead to the score tonight, Chris Ashmore will preview the FAI Junior Cup matches for Coghill Celtic, Buncrana Hearts and Letterkenny Rovers. And I'll be talking hurling with Donegal manager Mickey McCann and Derry boss Johnny McGarvey ahead of their Division 2B battle this Saturday at the O'Donnell Park. It's all part of the score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. It's a Thursday. It's 20 past 5. That means it's time for farming news and views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the recently published Farm Handbook and Tax Guide. The Donegal AGM of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, which takes place tomorrow, and discussions on a new Charter of Farmers' Rights. But first, top quality continental weanlings are hitting a record €4 a kilo in March this week. And that's up to €70 to €100 a head more than this time last year. Well, according to the Irish Farmers Journal, the weanling trade is poised for a further boost with more exports on the cards to Turkey. The Turkish government has issued a payment guaranteed contract for cattle imports, and Turkish buyers are now in the market for 600,000 cattle. Shipping disruption in the Red Sea is jeopardising live imports of cattle to the Middle East, and this is driving demand for Irish cattle. Well, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association's Donegal AGM is on in Jackson's Hotel in Balbafay tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Fela Malloy from Glenswilly is the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association's Donegal and National Chair. He's been telling me more.
Yeah, we've got confirmation from the Minister that he will attend at that meeting. Now, there's a number of fairly topical issues that will be discussed at the AGM. And one of the big issues that we've just recently become aware of, and that is the whole operation of the Acres Cooperation stream system. We only have discovered in the last week or so that in the areas on commonage where there will be turf cutting involved, and there's turbrae, which made turf cutting, there's actually a proposal that there would be a buffer zone of 100 metres placed around that plot of turf which we have worked out that, say, a plot of 50 metres by 20 with the buffer zone of 100 metres could actually amount to about 4.5 hectares of land. Now, from a payments point of view, that could have serious implication for some farmers, where there might be a number of different plots of turf cut on those common edges. Historically, there would have been turbary rights assigned to certain households. They may not actually be the landowners, or they may not be farming the lands. And if they exercise those rights, it could actually negatively impact on the farmers' payments arising out of the cooperations. We have written to the Minister for Agriculture and the Department seeking a meeting to get further clarification on the implications.
And also the President of the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association, Vincent Roddy, is going to be in attendance.
Yeah, Vincent will be attending the meeting, and Vincent will be given an update on the suckler, various suckler schemes and sheep schemes. Now, one area that we have a major issue with, and that is the whole operation of the SCEP scheme. That's the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme. And in relation to the star ratings applied to the livestock, now, we actually had a meeting with the ICBF and the department recently in relation to this. So there will be an update from those meetings.
And I'm sure you'd love to see new people joining up and maybe more branches as well in the future.
Yeah, we have actually been building a membership over the last number of years. The outcome of the CAP talks have been very beneficial for Donegal, because with the convergence and flattening payments, about 70% of farmers in Donegal have actually gained from the new CAP. So we want to build on that. But the possible expansion of the EU budgets may not be maintained, especially the CAP budget. So we want to make sure that whatever gains have been made and the new CAP are actually carried forward into the future CAPs.
You were at a meeting yesterday in Portlaoise in relation to a new charter for farmers' rights, which has been drawn up.
Yeah, this is a procedure that's been in place over the last number of years, and it's drawn up for all the CAP schemes that are being implemented. Now, there's representation there from all the farming organisations. What happens is that the administration of the various farm schemes, payment deadlines, application process and that, are all outlined in the document. There's also another part of the document, and that is in relation to where issues might arise, disputes arise between farmers and the department. There's a process there where those disputes can be dealt with, first of all, at department level, but if they're not resolved at that level, they can be moved on to another adjudication body. So that's the document that's been worked on at the moment. Now, it's actually in a draft form at the moment. But because of the complexity of the issues involved, there's a good bit of time being given to the completion of the document. Because of the delay in payments last year and the introduction of the new CAP, I mean, that was an issue that caused serious concern among farmers and farmer representatives. So now, under the new charter, there's actually a commitment that the payment dates will revert back to what they were prior to 2023. That is a positive development from the point of view of the timely payments. Now, there is a serious concern, and we have highlighted continually, and that is the delay and the paying of the acres schemes and that. Now, that was it was envisaged that those payments would have been made before the end of 2023. But that now, for a lot of farmers, especially in the cooperation area, that has been pushed back.
And that was Phelan Molloy, the Donegal and National Chair of the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association. Martin O'Sullivan, author of the Farmers Handbook and Tax Guide 2024, full of useful information. And this is not the first time you've done such a publication.
No, Chris. It's the 31st time, to be exact.
So no doubt it has changed quite a bit over the years, but essentially this is a very good book to have on the desk beside the computer or anywhere else to give you a quick reference, a quick guide to so many different useful things.
Yeah, as the name says, it's a farmer's handbook and tax guide. So tax would account for, I suppose, about maybe a quarter or thereabouts of the content. And everything thereafter, from all the schemes, farm succession issues, social welfare benefits for farmers, legal issues that might apply to farmers. It's a quick reference book. It's not going to give you a detailed account of everything, but it certainly will give you enough information to take you a bit further. And that's the whole idea. 31 years ago, I was an agricultural advisor and I was being asked these kind of questions every day. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be a good idea if we could come up with a handbook that might contain enough information to give people the answer that they would be looking for? And if they wanted more detailed information, fine, they could go further. But, you know, any handbook of its type needs to be easily understood. Like our audience are, I suppose, in the first instance, farmers. But, you know, even professional people such as accountants and solicitors, lots of the stuff they're reading, they will not be familiar with. So you want to present it in a way that makes it easy to understand.
Now, many of our listeners may know your name from the Farming Independent. You're a biweekly farm business columnist there as well.
Yes, I've been with the Farming Independent for a long time. I started out, I'd say, probably 30 years ago. It's a great way of keeping in touch with people because every week you get queries or phone calls from people. And, you know, it keeps you in touch with where the need for information is. And I suppose to some extent that dictates the content of the book.
So the ACA Farmer's Handbook and Tax Guide 2024, if somebody wants to get their hands on it, how do they go about doing that?
Probably the simplest way for people to do it is www.farmershandbook.ie. But failing that, it's in most bookshops.
And that was farm finance expert, author and columnist Michael O'Sullivan. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Just to let you know, Met Éireann has extended a yellow weather warning for snow and ice in Donegal until 8 o'clock this evening. Sleet and snow may lead to some accumulations, particularly on higher ground, with a chance of hazardous driving conditions, poor visibility and ice on untreated surfaces. The warning, which was to have expired at 3, will now remain in effect until 8 o'clock this evening. A similar warning has been issued by the Met Office for the six counties of Northern Ireland. It remains in place until 6 tomorrow morning, and Donegal County Council have confirmed this afternoon that all of the routes on its winter programme will be gritted from 6 o'clock this evening. All gritters will be out on the roads this evening. Weather forecast, it'll stay cold, wet, breezy this evening with falls of rain, sleet and snow. That snow mainly limited to high ground with easterly winds fresh and gusty. Cold and breezy tonight with further outbreaks of rain and moderate to fresh easterly winds. The rain turning to sleet at times with snow on higher ground. Lowest overnight temperatures 0 to 3 degrees Celsius with a chance of some frost and ice patches forming. Tomorrow Friday, cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle. The rain turning to sleet at times mainly over higher ground. Top temperatures 4 to 6 degrees Celsius with moderate to fresh easterly winds easing later in the day. Looking at the main stories this evening, Minister Charlie McConnellogh says he's hopeful that provisions can be put in place to ensure that the Refoe counselling service will be maintained. A meeting took place earlier this week involving the service, TUSLA and HSE locally. The service is now providing the HSE with a proposal that identifies all of the needs both in the interim and in the long term. The Taoiseach says higher tax would be a price he'd be willing to pay for United Ireland. However, Leo Varadkar says while he hopes it'll happen in his lifetime, he doesn't believe that unity is within touching distance. The Cathaoirleach of the Lifford Stranraer Municipal District, Councillor Liam Doherty, has confirmed he will not be standing in the local elections in June. The Sinn Féin Convoy-based councillor said it's been an honour to represent the district since he was first elected 10 years ago, but he believes it's time to step aside and allow somebody new to take on the baton. And people in Donegal continue to have the lowest average disposable income in the state. CSO data shows it was just over 19,500 in 2021, 21% below the state average. In contrast, Dublin had the highest level of average disposable income at almost €28,000. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. In the interim, of course, you can check all of today's stories on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 8th of February. The death has occurred of Josie McCarran, Murren, Fannet. Josie's remains will repose at his brother Charlie's home in Murren from 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Columba's Church Massmount, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member or McAteer funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Isabel Teresa McDade, née Green, Moneygran, Lower Drumaweir, Greencastle. Isabel's remains will leave Liam Collins' funeral home on Station Road, Carndonna, this evening at 7 o'clock, going to her home. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral Mass for Isabel will take place on Saturday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, Moville, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, Coolmore Road, Derry, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.